comedy and humor is the disruption of who we think we are, what we thought we knew, and who we take ourselves to be able to laugh at ourselves or laugh at someone else who is making a joke about something that we relate to is a disruption of that solidified identity.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune and Life Interrupted Radio. And we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and as always, it's my honor and pleasure to be with you here tonight. I am so excited because I have a friend on. I've been wanting to get her on the show for quite a while, but she's one busy lady, and we're not really going to talk autoimmune per se tonight because this is something that I've been pursuing that has brought a lot of other things into my life that sometimes when you know, sometimes you can get so wrapped in autoimmune that you almost take it on as an identity. And if you've watched my show before, you know that I'm absolutely like, no, I don't want to be labeled that I am an autoimmune condition, that I'm so much more than that. And I've got one of my favorite coaches on tonight because we're going to talk about finding the humor in it all, and not just autoimmune, but finding humor in our life and what laughter can do to our healing process, and not just healing from autoimmune, but healing from a lot of life's dysfunctions. And like Alicia likes to say, most of her life she grew up in finding humor in the dysfunction that she saw all around her, whether it was in family life or, you know, spiritual life or her school life. She was just attracted to the irony and the humor of it all. And so I think this humor part comes natural to her because she's a stand-up comedian, an amazing stand-up comedian that always gets rave reviews. I like to say, when I listen to her humor, there's this touch of like, oh, you're just nodding your head like, oh yeah, been there, done that. And you have to see the humor in it. And so tonight I want to welcome Alicia Dattner to the show, and I'll tell you more about her amazing bio in a little bit, but I want to get her on because she's been helping me, as you guys know, that I'm doing a lot of public speaking around self-advocacy and being strong, patient, and patient empowerment. And kind of have to have the humor in that too. So she's been helping me with that. So welcome, Alicia. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Sharon. It's a total pleasure to get to play with my friend for an hour.
I know. This is so fun. I love the background, girl. My God. It looks like a disco ball exploded on you. I love that. I think I might have to get one of those for the audio. She's got this amazing twinkle, diamond, disco ball, whatever. I'm not even sure how to describe it, but it's pretty cool. One of the best backgrounds I've ever seen.
It's brand new for you. No one has ever, you are the premier experience of this background.
Oh, I'm so honored. I love it. We're going to have to talk offhand, find out where you got that. We're going to have to see if that can really jazz up the autoimmune background here. Anyway, Alicia, let's talk a little bit.
It's dangerous out here, apparently.
Oh my God, yes. Can you hear the sirens? They're just welcoming you to the show, that's all.
I'm on fire.
Now, were you always funny or did it just come about? Were you one of those little four-year-olds that everybody just laughed with?
Like in a playful, silly way, like giggling together, not like I'm going to be the star of the four-year-old party and I'm going to, you know, do some impressions from Saturday Night Live, Richard Pryor. Like I think just like enjoying the absurdity and the silliness of life and like, you know, like, you know, I remember this one time my parents and I were having dinner together, and like somehow I was probably 5 or 6, I don't know. And like, I was trying to stab a pea pod, and it like fell off my, like it flew off my plate. And I just started laughing and laughing and laughing, and they started laughing, and just like we could not stop laughing. It was one of my favorite memories. I haven't told anybody that, but it was like, you know, just the silliness of like, this pea pod fell off my plate. You know?
flew off your plate.
It flew across the room in a different way, you know? Like, I think we all have a very unique kind of humor, and we, you know, rather than putting in a box and going, oh, you're the funny one if you're the one that's in the center of the room, like, doling out the, you know, the jokes. But we all actually have that in us.
It's interesting that you say that, because I'm thinking about certain family members, and they do in their own way. I have the one that's very stoic, and then out of nowhere will pop something off that just cracks everybody up. And you're like, that is so out of character. And I'm thinking of another family member that's so sarcastic.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that whole stoic, it's like, to, you know, when you say that, I think of like, you know, what we have, there's a setup and a punchline in a joke. And it's, you know, some people's setup, like, it's like, oh, I got a setup, I got a punchline. And you can do that in a joke or with a, as a person, as a character. And when you described your stoic, is it your sister?
No, it's just a relative.
Your relative. So like that person's whole life is the setup, like all the time. It's just a very long setup. And then the punchline is like a great payoff. And it's just a longer span of time in between the setup and the punchline.
Oh, that's a great way to look at it. I hadn't looked at it that way. I just thought,
I don't see it as out of character at all. It's like they're the straight man, you know, and they're like the whole time of being serious is just like getting ready, you know, setting you up to think like serious, serious, serious. Just that one moment, all for that payoff.
Yes, I'm one of those. I think I like to see the irony of it all. I mean, just the absurdity of it all is another way that I look at it. I just sometimes roll my eyes or something. I just sometimes it's not always doesn't come out polished, shall I say? But sometimes it just comes out where I'm like, can you believe that? Well, one of those moments where really. Anyway, that's sort of my humor. But one of the things that we were talking about, and that you've been helping me find humor and being able to bring that out in a more conscious way. And we have a mutual friend too that's been working with you. And one of the things that she and I were talking about that surprised me was she was saying about sometimes with autoimmune or other life tragedies, we personally find humor in it as a way to cope, but when we share it with other people, they don't find it funny. Like, I lost about 60% of my skin during the first parts of my condition, and as it began to grow back, it looked gorgeous. I mean, not a wrinkle. It looked like a baby's bottom. You know, it was fabulous.
I'm sorry. Can you just from my understanding, how did, I feel embarrassed to ask this, but I really need to know, how did you lose your, like, what did it, like, disappear, or it was, yeah. I don't understand.
I don't want to gross people out, so I'll just give the highlights. With dermatomyositis, it erupts as hives, and then it turns into a very angry rash that looks like third degree burns. And then as that begins to heal, it peels off like a really nasty sunburn.
So like you had an autoimmune induced chemical peel.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Now you're like gorgeous. You're like brand. You had like a refresh.
Well, that's like what I said to the doctors.
It's gorgeous.
Well, I said to the doctors when they were so like, oh my gosh, Sharon, how awful. But this was definitely down the path. This was not when it's like, you know, looking like some supervillain facial thing. This was definitely down the path of healing. When they were like, oh my gosh, how awful. I said, hey, look, free laser peel. I thought it was hysterical. And I mean, Ivan was laughing at my own joke, you know, because I hadn't been thinking about it. It just came out and I started laughing at my own joke and they were mortified.
It's so great that you said that. I love it. I'm totally like, I'm basking in the enjoyment of that moment and just imagining them just, because doctors, you know, they're afraid of being sued, right? I mean, they don't know like that you're doing a comedy show. They don't know that this is suddenly a moment that they can laugh along with you, right? But I love it. I love it.
I think that's the thing, though. A lot of people, when you're joking about very serious things, and the only way I got through this was joking about it a lot, they're not sure that they can laugh along with you. There's this moment of where they have to kind of go through their mind and go, is it okay to laugh at that?
I mean, they probably have a whole set of boxes they have to check off, you know, like a whole set of doctor boxes, you know, was she serious? What, you know, would my laughter be contributing in a, you know, like, do I get the, oh, like what even happened? I just love the image of like you in a movie, like you're, like you are like a supervillain or a superhero. you literally went through a metamorphosis and you,
I did. I feel like a butterfly. Yeah. I really do. Especially, did you know cocoons? I did not know this. I went to the butterfly farm down in Florida one time, and my little granddaughter and I just had this marvelous time. So a little plug for the butterfly farm down in Southern Florida.
Butterfly world.
Your butterfly world.
Yeah. I've been.
Isn't that awesome there?
So great.
Yeah. As you probably learned there, you see the caterpillar goes into the cocoon, and they actually sort of melt in there. They don't just stay like and somehow sprout wings. They actually sort of melt and turn into this goo, and then they pop out this amazing butterfly. And as gross as that sounds, I kind of think about that, you know, there was some melting going on here and some coming out with this, you know, completely different person.
Do you remember what they call those cells when they turn into the goo?
I don't. Do you?
Yes.
What?
Imaginal cells.
What a great word.
Imaginal cells. These are the cells where the moment of where they go into the cocoon, they're a caterpillar, and then they're like, melt, 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 melt. And from that place, it's like it returned to, I just can't even believe that this happens. They're returned to a state of imagination. A state of possibility. There, it returned to this imaginal realm, and from that place, like, ooh, I'm going to imagine that I could fly. I'm going to imagine, like, they're, you know, can you imagine what they're dreaming about, what they're feeling, and what they're experiencing? The intensity of like, oh my God, like, who am I becoming? Who? What am I? And this, you know, and then like, can you imagine the first time where you're like, oh, I have wings, like what? Or, you know, you don't know what, you don't call them wings. You're like, oh. You're like shaking and you're like, oh, what is this? And then suddenly you're like flying through the air, like, and you're gorgeous. You know, you went from like a whoop to like a, it's crazy.
It is crazy. It is crazy. And when you were saying that, I was remembering the iridescent blue one that I fell in love with. I'm thinking, what if you're inside there going, oh, do I want yellow and orange, or do I want to be the iridescent blue, or all of the above?
Where are my dogs going to be?
I love that. I could see that as part of the healing process too. Just having those moments of meditation where we allow ourselves to go into those imaginal cells.
Yeah.
And what can we produce from that? Whoa, that gives me goosebumps just thinking about that.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, Alicia, share with us some more about how, you know, I mean, my gosh, just coming up with that entire story there, which was not prompted anybody. This is just all live talking to my friend Alicia. And we've never talked butterflies before. Where does that come from, and can it be learned?
Humor?
Well, yeah, I just this amazing imaginary dramatic story that you just shared with us. I'm just in awe. I know that it's a gift of yours, but I also know that you teach it. But I'm curious, what do you tell people when they say, wow, I could never do that?
I say, well, I'm sorry. That's very sad. How unfortunate for you. You're missing out. No, I really think everything is a muscle. Everything, you know, if you are encouraged since childhood to exercise your mathematics muscle, and everything about who you are and the family you grew up in is linear and logical, and everything makes sense and has a purpose, and you know, there's a lot of humor in math, of course, but like also, you know, there's a way where we're trained, and that literally the shape of our brains, it is built. And so, in fact, I heard this, and I don't know if it's true, but I love it. 5 seconds after we laugh, our brains return to the plasticity, the neuroplasticity that they had when we were five. So we open everything up and the connections can get rewired. And that's, you know, when we're free associating and we're hearing humor where one thing connects with something totally different and these two things get put together, these connections get created in our brains. And
wow,
it's an exciting, humor is a place, again, like other things, you know, humor and laughter and then exercise and sensuality and sexuality are all these very embodied spaces where, you know, they have overlapping benefits. So with laughter, you know, you've heard all of these studies that say that, and I'm coming kind of around about, but I'll come back to your question. Laughter lowers your blood pressure. It, you know, it's physical exercise. It increases our resilience and our creativity and our tolerance to pain. I think physical and emotional, because if it increases tolerance to physical pain, it's got to increase tolerance to emotional pain, because it does such a beautiful opening with our body. It increases our oxygen in the brain, makes our memory better, improves our immune systems. So, I mean, it's massively related, I think, to our auto and our immune response, because people who are having a hard time and depressed and thinking, like, that has an impact on the body and vice versa. So to come back around, if the shape of our brains is plastic through laughter, then we can change and we can grow and we can exercise a muscle. And what it really means is, for me, integrating the mind and the body and the heart and the soul. And for me, a lot of my practice has been coming more into my body. It was easy as a kid to kind of check out of my body and go into my imagination or my thinking mind and, you know, in that sort of fight or flight space. And the more that I come into my body, and I also could do that a lot when I was little, but like more I'm exercising this muscle, you know, clowns and mimes and comedians all do kind of an embodiment thing. Does that sort of answer your question? I think we can do it if we want to.
It took me so many places because I was thinking we've had our mutual friend on, Valerie Shepherd, and she does a lot with laughter yoga. And yeah. I remember she says, you don't have to find something funny to do laughter yoga. You just start laughing. And yeah. At first I thought, well, how do you do that? And then on the show, we started laughing and it was like, oh my gosh, how fast. I felt that a lot of things shifted in my body. It was definitely under a minute, definitely.
Totally. Yeah, I was teaching laughter yoga when I don't know, in the past 10 years, I got to interview Dr. Kataria, who founded it in India. And he's an amazing guy. And just like, just the practice of laughing, I think really increases, I mean, does everything you need to do for your body, but also increases your sense of humor, your interest in, you know, without even needing to tell a joke, which is, you know, makes my job a lot easier.
That's true. That's true. Although what I love about your humor is I can relate to so much of it. It's just those opportunities where you're to seeing irony and commenting on it in such a way that that it's so relatable, whether I've actually been there, but I'm putting myself or a friend or something like that into those situations going, oh my, yeah, that is really absurd or what have you. And that's what I love. Another thing that interesting that you just were talking about neuroplasticity, just this last weekend, I was doing a 3-day workshop on increasing neuroplasticity of the brain around releasing trauma and how you can rewire your brain. And humor, laughter was part of that. Oxygen, obviously, breathing, conscious breathing was part of it as well. And what was fascinating to me is when you were talking about how laughter creates new neural pathways, it's interesting to me that as I'm learning more about the healing process, how much our brain is involved. That surprised me, especially right now. And then from the 3-day workshop that I just attended about healing from traumas, and how the brain can rewire with very specific techniques. You can just rewire the brain around that trauma. You know, it's like build an off ramp around that thing and just keep on going. And I was shocked at how fast the body responded. I'm just going, oh, 3 days, what can happen? And within the first, by the end of the first day, I was seeing differences. And so I was like, so it's just really got me excited here with this idea of humor and neuroplasticity too, about how fast we can get our immune system to realign itself.
Yeah, I mean, the body is incredibly responsive. It's like, what, you know, it's amazing how fast something can happen. And, you know, they say, I mean, I'm extremely interested in trauma and releasing trauma and healing from trauma, and especially coaching people. And, you know, people have trauma around visibility, around being seen, around being heard, around giving themselves permission to be seen and heard, around how what has happened in the past when they have been allowed themselves to be visible, around stepping into their power, around maybe they were made fun of because their humor, you know, they weren't funny, or they, you know, maybe they were the butt of a joke. I mean, there's so many spaces where when people want to get on stage, and not that I'm saying they need to, but like often things come up, and just taking that step starts to have people have an experience of like a shift very quickly. And I'd love to hear more about like what shifted for you. I get really curious about that.
Oh, well, the first shift, it started around this idea of having multiple chemical and food sensitivities is why I went. And what was fascinating to me was I went because someone else had gone, and it was sort of like, yeah, okay. You know, right? So I can't say I went with an open mind or a closed mind. I just went with, yeah, okay, which is an interesting place to be. I didn't know what to expect. And sometimes I find that's the best way, is not to do a lot of research beforehand and get any sort of preconceived notions about anything. It's just show up. And so I showed up, and I did recognize some of the techniques from all of my past trainings. I did recognize some of the techniques, and it probably helped that I knew those techniques works in other areas. It probably helped a little bit. But by the end of the first day, there's an ask, and it's totally up to you. Do you want to try a little something that you're sensitive to? Whatever it is, maybe it's even just smelling a bar of soap or something that's not a 10, okay? Not a 10, but, you know, try the little twos, the yeah, little irritants of a 2 or a 3 level. And I did, and I was surprised. I had no response whatsoever. So some positive reinforcement there, just like when we laugh or we tell a joke and someone laughs, to me that's positive reinforcement that, oh, well, maybe I can be funny, or maybe, you know, we can see all see the humor in it together. Oh, so that was really fascinating. It was great. But when Alicia and I get together, we could just talk for hours.
I could talk forever. Oh, I wanted to share, did they talk at all about the birds shaking their trauma off?
No, but we'll have to after this quick commercial break. Everybody, visualize shaking. We have shared before with Tamara Green and Dave Dashinger about shaking like a golden retriever, you know, shaking like a dog. So, and how that really helps shake things off. But okay, so spend the next 2 minutes as you listen to these commercials, either shaking like a dog or trying to figure out what does a bird look like when it shakes, because I'm trying to visualize that right now. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're here with Alicia Dattner from AliciaDattner.com. The spelling of it will be up on the Understanding Autoimmune page, but you can just Google her too. And she's everywhere because she's just an amazing comedian with just a fast-growing community and tribe that love how she views humor. And tonight she's sharing with us about humor, because one of the things since I've known Alicia, and she's been helping me find the humor so I can speak to being self-empowered, being an empowered patient, being a strong self-advocate for yourself. And sometimes you, when you find the humor in it, it just makes it so much easier for everybody. Kind of lightens the mood. But before we took that commercial break, Alicia just intrigued me no end. Okay, so tell me about these shaking birds.
So, you know, like a bird might fly into a window and get hurt and, you know, that it kind of like lays down on the ground and it just kind of is still.
Funny, I wasn't thinking a little bird. Somehow I was seeing like ostriches and emus, but okay. Okay,
mean,
so you're talking about like flying birds. Okay.
Yeah, you know, birds fly, but there's, you know. Or walk, maybe an ostrich walks into a, you know, a glass door, you know, just in Australia, they're just kind of like, oh. Right? So they're like laying, and then they just sort of start to move a little bit, and then they just start to shake, right? They're like, ah. And you just, if you watch that, and they probably don't make that sound, but they might make like or some bird sound, and they're just like they're literally shaking off the trauma. They're shaking it off, and this is like and then they, you see them and they just fly away.
What a great skill to have. What a great skill.
Great skill to have. People don't do that. We go, oh, we you know, we crash into a window, we lay down, and then we just hold it. And we just freeze from that, you know, in the shape of the window or whatever, the emotional window that we flew into, you know, and walk around the rest of, you know, oh, I got a thing there.
Well,
I got
that
a thing there,
turning
right?
Bright red from the embarrassment as everyone else is laughing at us. And, you know, I mean, I wonder what would happen if we did make those noises of.
Well, and if we did, and guess what? Laughter is a whole lot like shaking and making noise.
It is. A socially acceptable way to make noise.
Socially acceptable way to shake and make noise. And so, like, it's, again, whether it's laughter yoga or going to, you know, a comedy show, it's a really beautiful way to lightly, you know, move through trauma.
That's interesting. That's fascinating to me. And I don't know why my mind went to ostriches, but
I love it. I think that made it way more funny.
I don't know. I wasn't thinking about, oh, that poor bird flew into the window. But as you mentioned that, I was thinking of this. I found humor in this article, and I don't know why, because it's really kind of sad. But it was an article about I can't even remember what it was, but it was a building that they had built, and the windows were in such a way that the birds couldn't tell where they lost their depth of field. You know, they lost their ability to tell their where they were flying in the depth of field. And this community actually enacted a law that had to change the windows on buildings that were knocking birds out by the multiples that birds were constantly flying into these buildings. I was like, wow.
So how did they change the window?
There was some sort of covering that they had to put over the window. little rubber yellow ducks.
Like a, what would stop a bird? Like a,
a cat. A cat at, you know what? A cat at 17 stories? I don't know. I don't know if the bird would, like, what's that? What's a cat doing at 17 stories above the ground?
At least, like, they would go, woo, I'm not going to fly.
Could be. I don't know. My mind went to my little bathroom thing, you know, the little rubber ducks with the umbrellas. I don't know. Maybe they'd fly into it. They'd go, oh, Cousin Joe. But anyway, oh my gosh. So let's talk a little bit more. One of the things that you share with us, how you coach people in doing it. I know the thing that I love is this TED Talks with Punchlines is one of the things that you do. And it's been helping me so much understand nuance and this little ways and places to put humor and ways and places not to put humor. But share with us what are some of the first tips you have when people say, yeah, you know what? I really want to commit to being more funny and have it more in the moment.
Yeah. I mean, specifically around speaking or just like everyday life?
Let's go with everyday life because not everybody wants to be a public speaker. Yeah.
Just what we've been doing now is the very first thing that I would suggest people do is just begin to find that fountain of laughter. Find, like, where does it come from in your particular body? Does it come from, is it in here? Like, where do you get tickled? You know, what are the triggers that make you laugh uncontrollably or that fire in your brain and make a ha come out? And how can you, again, sort of just feed that fountain so that you're opening up the flow and it starts to come on its own. So to me, a sense of humor is really about my own sense, my own hearing. When I'm seeing or I'm smelling, I don't go, well, I wish, you know, other people would like really think that my sense of smell is really great. I just enjoy, right? You're not like, my sense of smell is so fantastic. I can smell pasta sauce like a, you know, you enjoy your own sense of smell. Why not enjoy your own sense of humor, right? And then from that place, you can express it. And to me, like, that's where it starts, is internal referencing for our own enjoyment, for our own pleasure. And I don't mean like in a you know, selfish way. I just mean we're often so externally focused and like, are you, you know, do you think this is funny? Do you think, you know, and then suddenly you're in a performance of your life rather than an experience of your life. So how can you just begin to find the most pleasure in your own experience, letting things tickle you, you know, letting the pea pod that flew off the plate, what if that tickled you, or your love of the absurdity and the irony of life? So that's the first step to me, is really just like, and again, taking moments of time to just be curious, you know, like if we're not even being curious, we're not going to sense those subtle moments of just a little tiny something, you know, just the very subtle. I could just look around to something total, like I'm just looking at my altar right now and I'm realizing it's like so full of sacred items. And this is really subtle, but I could just kind of be tickled by like, wow, I have a really lot of crap on my altar. It's full of stuff. And it's interesting that like I need to like have one place where I put all of the sacred things, and it's packed, and things are almost falling off. You know, so that wasn't like a big, like hilarious, but it's just little subtle noticings of, oh, that's interesting. Oh, that, you know, and beginning to encourage that. And from there, we get actually much more attuned to subtle energies. And subtle energies could just like get bigger.
Oh, wow. Yeah, one of the things I was thinking of, though, is if I'm admiring my sense of smell or taste or touch or whatever, it's not always visible. If I'm admiring the absurdity of it all, sometimes I'll blurt. Almost like I have some sort of problem all of a sudden, you know, like, it's like, it might be verbal, even like, oh, that's funny. And I'll be blurting it really loud, or I'll just start snickering or giggling. And sometimes not always appropriate, but I find it funny. But yeah. There's a lot of self-censoring that goes on when all of a sudden these moments are going to become visible.
You get to decide how visible you want it to be. I mean, if I'm smelling some really delicious sauce, I might just be like, like I just might, you know, that might be visible for me. Or a taste, you know, if I'm eating like a chocolate cake. Oh my God. You know, like that might, and then I could be at a restaurant or at Thanksgiving and find a way to censor myself and maybe not make such guttural pleasure sounds.
Somewhere my mind went to Harry when met Sally when you did that.
Right? But like, why do we, you know, I mean, obviously there are professional settings or appropriate places to be, but why are we censoring ourselves? You know, because your laughter is also like a deeply beautiful experience that like you get to censor yourself when it's appropriate, and you also can encourage it in order to like, I don't know, this is slightly different, but on the theme of like enjoying oneself and one's experience, I was at Cafe Gratitude in LA last weekend, and my friend was taking me out for my birthday dinner, and I saw this guy, and he was serving, and he was just like, every moment that just like wherever he went, he was enjoying everything. He was enjoying his life. He was enjoying his body. It's just like, it was like a kind of confidence and ease that exuded. He was like dancing, like to the music that was out, you know, like, here's your menu. Like, and I just fell in love with him. I just was like, I was just blown away by how much he enjoyed his own experience of his life. And he just stood out, and it gave me so much more spaciousness in my own body to watch him and to feel like, oh, someone could enjoy just like, it's not like he was on stage being a superstar. He was serving in a restaurant. And I don't mean to denigrate that in any way. I mean to say it like no matter what we're doing, if we're cleaning the floors or we're on the Tonight Show, we can enjoy ourselves that much. And I had to go up to him, and I just, you know, on the way out, I just was like, excuse me. And he came around the counter and he just embraced me. He didn't need no words. I was like, oh my God, yes. I didn't even have to say anything. Like we hadn't had one interaction. And then I just had to say, like, I love who you're being in your body and enjoying yourself and loving yourself so much. Thank you for being you. Thank you so much. And he was like, thank you for saying that. And I just almost started crying. It was so beautiful.
Oh, how exciting. Everyone, we blew through the last commercial break time. And so we're kind of running up against the clock and we need to get one more commercial break in. So we're going to get it in now while we're just feeling our bodies. On the audio, you need to watch the YouTube of this because Alicia really is very physical. And some of that was pretty awesome. So we can really begin to think about the shaking bird, the shaking ostrich, or the shaking dog, as well as what would it be like if we just embodied the joy in the moment all the time? So you got a couple of minutes here to play with that idea. When we come back, Alicia's going to share more. We'll be right back.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. You guys have to be on the commercial break. Sorry about that. But anyway, I'm having a great time with my dear friend Alicia Dattner from AliciaDattner.com. She's an amazing stand-up comedian that just really has been all around the world and clubs like the Improv and Gotham Comedy Club and playing in San Francisco, London, Hollywood, Honolulu, Bali, and Bombay. I mean, we could just like around the world. It's awesome. And I had her on just because I want to share with you guys this idea of what if we didn't take ourselves so seriously and definitely didn't take our diagnosis so seriously and just really enjoy life. And she's been sharing all sorts of great tips and techniques for doing that. And Alicia, we're down to the last 12 minutes, so no pressure, but what's another great one? I like this idea. The waiter story was amazing. I'm thinking to myself, what would I be doing if I was showing up like that? So I'm going to be practicing that.
Yeah, if we could all be more like that guy. What are some other things, you know, and just even literally like through my mirror neurons, he transmitted that to me. I received that experience. And just through my words and your mirror neurons, you received the transmission and all of the people received the experience of what he was bringing to the world, that gift. So you really get to have that. And I love that, like, it can ripple out like a delightfully infectious disease, like a delightfully infectious ease.
There we go. Ease. Good catch.
Yeah. So what another way to bring humor into our lives? One of my favorite things is improv. And you can obviously do improv right now here with another person just by saying something spontaneous and silly. There are a million improv games. You can read an improv book, but it's a way of creating a container and a space to say, maybe in the rest of your life, you don't give yourself permission to be spontaneous and silly and playful and honest, but just here, let's just start here, just through this structured, playful game. And it creates a space of like really spacious fun. And I notice that when I'm doing improv regularly or when I'm on stage regularly, like it ripples out into the rest of my life. And so it really has a big impact. And I encourage people to even consider going to an improv class, because that is where, you know, teachers who are practiced in helping people to be, to both not just be funny, but also be playful and truthful is what I meant to say, to also like bring truth into the equation. It's really good for people. It's really good for me. I'm like, why am I not doing improv?
Now, I've taken an improv class and I loved it. And I bring a lot of it, even the simple technique of yes and, instead of the word but, into all sorts of negotiations and other things. So many things I learned in the improv class besides the spontaneity of it. It's just some of the techniques that help, what I'll call general communication. I was so surprised at that as well. I'm curious about the idea of improv and when we're, you know, the playfulness of it. When we're doing the body movements and everything, what I found was it built upon itself. And I might have been a little hesitant when I started in the class or that night even. And then I felt, you know, as I'd start and then something would happen. And then pretty soon, all of that self-consciousness would just disappeared. And that's what I loved about the improv class, was this way that part of me was like, oh, you don't want to do this. Oh, you don't want to embarrass yourself. All of these things, maybe even other people's messages in my brain saying, oh, you know, yeah, be a good girl, whatever. And by the end of the night, how none of that was even relevant anymore.
And did you notice that when you left, some of that stayed with you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It still stays with me. And it's much easier to get into that place of playfulness. And sometimes even if someone doesn't, or I'll put in air quotes, no, we're in improv, you can like throw in something that's just tangential or even off the wall and start an entirely new fun conversation, a new direction. It really can shift the energy, which is important, especially if you or maybe some family members. I know at times when I take the healing journey lighthearted, some family members are trying to bring me back to seriousness, and I'm playing with some improv with them, even though they don't know they're part of the improv.
Totally. Yeah, you can just be like, yes, and we're talking about this now.
Right, exactly.
Oh, it must be really hard for you. Yes, and it's also really delightful, and there are lots of gifts happening, you know, and one wonderful thing that happened to me, yeah, you know, because of this diagnosis is I have beautiful skin now.
Exactly. One time they didn't think it was appropriate there again either, but I did. I like your waiter. I saw a very handsome doctor, so I brought that up. Well, I wouldn't have met, you know, so and so, and then went into why that was such a nice experience, just from a visual standpoint. Everyone, just from a visual standpoint.
Totally. Yeah.
So we're down just to the last 6 minutes. I want everyone to know how to get a hold of you. But any final thoughts you want to share about following this up? I know that you actually have a way of combining humor. My word's not yours, so you can correct me if you want. But like with your spiritual path, and I find that so fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, I really believe humor is a spiritual path. I believe that for me, I have become, just as a human in the world, doing the daily life very identified with my identity. Like I'm Alicia. This is my habit when this thing happens, and this is who I am. And my spiritual practice disrupts that through meditation, through self-inquiry, through spiritual teachers and healers knocking on the door going, no, you're not any of those things. And you're also not a spiritual being. You're just a witness to the experience that is happening through this sensory illusion. And for me, the same thing with comedy. Comedy and humor is, it's the disruption of who we think we are, what we thought we knew, and who we take ourselves to be. And to be able to laugh at ourselves or laugh at someone else who is making a joke about something that we relate to is a disruption of that solidified identity. And I think it's really, really valuable, and it's a really pleasurable way of opening and expanding.
Well, tell everyone, we're down to the last 4 minutes. I wish we could just go on and on, because I just love to chat with you, and we share all sorts of ideas and things that always get my brain ticking on new things. I have like 100 questions, but we don't have time, unfortunately. We have to bring her back. But share it with everybody how they can find out more about you and TED Talks with Punchlines. If you guys want to be able to integrate humor, and it doesn't have to be doing a TED Talk. I mean, you know. If you just want to be able to learn to integrate humor, Alicia's the person for you. So share a little bit about what you do besides all the amazing stand-up work that you do.
So for a number of years, I have enjoyed helping people to tell their personal stories and to delve inside and explore, you know, what they really want to share. What if they were to get on stage, who they could be, how they can express their deepest desires, their vision for the world, their to find healing and transformation around something they've carried that they want to set free. And coming out in front of a group of people and sharing that is so powerful, and finding the humor in it is so powerful. And I'm really excited to start working with people now to bring their TED Talks, their presentations, their keynotes, their boardroom, their funding pitches into a space of possibility and humor, and bringing all of that together to, you know, to be much more in alignment with who we are and where we're going as a human race. And so I'm committed to people being their fullest, most highest expression of who they are, and creating a movement based on that, creating transformation from that place.
That's fantastic. And it's aliciadatner.com. And I'm going to give up my own plug here for her. So I just find her fascinating. And she's an amazing teacher. I've been learning so much from her about lightening up, not taking myself so seriously, finding the humor in it all. And mine isn't so much about what I want to say, being on stage per se. It's just like finding the humor in it all, and being, for me, able to just get comfortable with just having those moments where I just bask in the absurdity of it all and find the humor in it all. So there's plenty of ways to take advantage of the trainings that Alicia does. Because guys, if you're on this healing autoimmune journey, or whatever you're healing from, whether it could be trauma, it could be anything, that finding someone to coach you through those moments, to be able to have you be able to see the humor in it, has been really powerful in my life. And I wanted to share Alicia with you as well as a great resource. So thank you, my dear friend, for being on the show. I wish we had more time, because we always start giggling like little schoolgirls or whatever when we get together. But anyway, everyone, you'll find her website up at Understanding Autoimmune. I'll put the link there and everything. Have a great week. Whatever your adventures, join me next week for another brand new episode. As always, if you've got great guests, you know, like Alicia, it's all about this wonderful life journey we're on. And so please send me your ideas for great guests over at understandingautoimmune.com, and join me on Facebook at Understanding Autoimmune, as well as Twitter and Instagram now. Sort of. I'm still learning that one. So anyway, everyone, like I said, have a great week. Join me next week. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, "Sorry, I'm rambling," you say, "Thank you for listening." Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift. Hi, this is Sharon. And of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenil and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at PinkyChenil.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there.